I guess I'll hit record too.
And you also need to let everyone know only you can see this information.
Oh, I see. You mean the chat?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I haven't figured out how to... There's got to be a way to embed the chat, right? Julian, where's Julian? He knows this stuff. How do I embed the chat so Nick can see it?
There has to be a way, but yet, do I want that distraction? Or should only one of us have that distraction? I mean, you know me. I'm like a cat seeing action outside the window, and I just, I want to go over there.
Good point. All right, look, here's the thing. Last week there was no video. It was a picture. Now you have video, and I have a light.
See, we're getting there.
And so next week, maybe we'll embed the chat into the video feed. See?
You would think that YouTube just wants you... They don't want you on Zoom, bringing Zoom over to YouTube. They want you to be in YouTube using their crapola. So why wouldn't they just make that so easy for everyone? But I don't think they do.
I bet they have a thing.
I don't know. We're so close with this dumb Zoom.
See, so Dennis says, why don't you just watch the stream?
That's true.
You could do that, but it might be a little distracting.
And if you were on substances, would you just be staring and not even communicating and just reading what people are saying? Who knows? Who knows?
Well, I mean, next episode, you need to read, because welcome to the Nerdy Legion with Nick and Martin, episode 249. Next week's 250, so you know what I mean? Like, you need to read the chat. I can't read the chat.
We need to fix this.
I don't even know if I'll have video.
The video, you know, would not be very exciting. That would be fun, though. Know what we might have to do is take a dry run on Wednesday and not tell anyone. So we're both in the right frame of mind and maybe test out the offering of, say, a Twitch or a YouTube.
Ah, yes. You know, I was just thinking, Julian says it's different for different things. I was playing around with Restream. I think that's right. And I'm pretty sure I tied my YouTube account, which means the chat would show up. I don't know. Look, one thing at a time, right?
Right.
They're asking for too much.
Right. See, just have the idle threat, the constant threat of, I'm just going to turn off chat. I'm turning off chat. This is your, I'm going to turn this car around situation.
Turn the beat around.
Right. Ooh, very good.
Very good. So,
well, see, when I watch Xtreme, I don't have any problem with any of this stuff.
Xtreme, like the band, like More Than Words? Wasn't that Xtreme?
Like Gary Cherone, yes. Pre his stint in Van Halen. the forgotten 2 years.
Yes. Good point. Welcome. I think we should make Julian and Dennis the official watchers.
They could be the moderators. Kick some people out. Give Julian some power.
That's true.
But Julian's hours fluctuate, so I don't know if we can be guaranteed he would show up every Sunday night.
True. Right. True.
It's a pleasure having him.
Well, and the thing too is, if Saturday is going to be, or not Saturday, if Sunday is going to be our, like, it's always been our chat night.
Yes.
But we never had live chat, right? So if we're going to be live streaming every Sunday, then maybe we need to move it to a different day. Well, that's true.
Because we also record on Wednesdays here and there.
And sometimes we skip Sundays, and sometimes we skip Wednesdays. So
do we want to be held down like that? What are we, cartoonist kayfabe? No, we can't be locked down like that.
Oh, my God. Listen. All right. So Rob Liefeld was on kayfabe.
Mm-hmm.
Did you listen?
No, buddy. Come on. Good God. There's Howard Chaykin interviews I could be checking out. I would watch his quarter bin diving before jumping into a Liefeld one.
Oh, man. Is Kirk in the chat? Kurt sent a tweet. He said, I dedicate this episode to Sergeant Rock, Jonah Hex, Atari Force, and warm chocolate chip cookies. Aw, I think that was for Mike. Aw. That's sweet. See, Mike thinks we hate him now. Of course that's not true.
Never true.
Never true. Plus, we never called...
Don't know what broke...
Listen, we never called anyone specifically a dummy. We just said a very general thing.
Well, there are a lot of dummies out there.
That's true. Also, if you need an incentive to join the live chat, look at this beard. Now that you can actually see it.
I think we need a... You should create a little snippet image so they can send that out.
Oh,
Julian, get on that. Tweet that. Tweet a picture of your bro.
I have the technology now. So maybe after I put this out, can I do that on that thing? Yeah, I think I'll be able to. There's a service called Audio Burst, and you can do like little clips of audio, and you can have it make a YouTube clip from your podcast feed. Ooh. So maybe we'll do that with a little picture of this.
That's a more advanced GIF.
It's a very advanced GIF. That's true.
Yeah, that's nice. I like it.
That's true.
Have to wait for you to skip over and have to go to the bathroom. So then we can have a GIF of just your gamer chair behind you. That'd be a good one.
See, and I got smart this time. I put a curtain behind me, so you can't see. So you can't see all the storage behind me. Aha! See?
I like it.
A little bit at a time. We're getting semi-professional.
Yep.
I am recording this, right? Yeah, I am recording. Cool.
Oh,
just making sure.
Hey, can I give you what do I want to call this? Two retractions.
Oh,
excuse me, everyone. Nerdy Legion attraction. First retraction. Now this goes back to both of them last week. Remember, I was complaining about with this pandemic. I know. Look at the smirk on your face. See, this is what I like video for. you're like, where's he going with this one? Last week, I said, with this pandemic, isn't it terrible that we can't get other versions of shows? And I use the example of like, my wife wants to watch The Bachelor UK.
Mm.
Why don't, since they're not making any original program, why doesn't ABC just put that on, or any service just put stream other world, other region series? My retraction is I downloaded HBO Max.
Oh God.
Dude, HBO Max, my wife is in seventh heaven. They must have, like, honest to God, 12 seasons of Bachelor in Paradise Australia, Bachelor in Paradise UK, Bachelor...
Are you serious?
I think there's one in Ireland. There's like four different series across the world, and there must be like Bachelor in Paradise Australia, I think has like six seasons or something. Like some of them are just one-off seasons, but it's like complete episodes, full seasons. And I'm like, HBO Max, look at, like, this isn't just, what is it? What do they have? TCM, some Crunchyroll, some DC Universe. Like, DC Universe is pretty much the Batman films, some animation films, and Doom Patrol. Because I'm not going to count Watchmen, because that's HBO proper.
Yeah.
So they are very scared. Like, when everyone was like, oh my God, DC, oh, you can't. I pay for that. Now it's on HBO Max. Pump the brakes. There's like, it's like 10% of what's on DC Universe. Forgot. Believe me, when I saw that little, like, they have all the tiles, like the standard HBO has. Yeah. And when I saw DC Universe, I was like, oh man, now I'm double dipping and I don't even have to pay for DC Universe now. No. I get Doom Patrol. Fantastic. But nothing else. Sure, I can rewatch Aquaman now. So just to let you know.
That's on Prime.
Agreed. And I'm sure it's on HBO regular.
Yeah.
But still, it's like the DC Universe, not that great. Sure, I can watch Death Note from Crunchyroll. And I should watch Death Note, yes.
Hmm.
But it's not like thousands. And maybe it'll get better. HBO Max is brand new. Who knows? But right now, it's like Crunchyroll. Maybe 30 things on it on HBO Max, but I gotta throw out the retraction. I was like, oh my God, like, And I even showed it to the wife, and the wife was like, I don't know if I really want to. And I'm like, come on, you're going to watch this? You're bored. Like, you're starved for original content. And for her, this is all original content. So kudos. I wasn't even trying. All of a sudden, it was like HBO Max has, like, for me, it's really good because they have a lot of foreign films. So it was like, oh, I want to watch a Jean Cocteau movie. Oh, they have some, you know, Renoir. Oh, whoa. So that was great. But other than that, HBO Max seems like HBO with 20% added. I don't see the Max at this point. So that's my first retraction. My second retraction should be no surprise to you. Carmine Infantino.
Uh-huh.
Started Tales of the Dark Knight, Carmine Infantino. I think my criticism, I think, was on late Infantino era. Because the Carmine Infantino that I'm reading right now, currently, amazing. It's a joy to read. It is absolutely shocking how much fun I'm having from it.
Yeah,
I think he might have just got sloppy in his later years, which, hey, guess what? I'm sure I could call out plenty of great artists that towards the end of their career might have got a little rushed or a little sloppy. I don't know what it was. I can only judge what I was reading previous. But what I'm reading now in the Tales of the Batman, and sure, it's been curated, so I'm sure it's the best of the best of that era. And I'm sure as I go on, because I'm 175 of like 500 pages in this collection, I'm sure it'll be a broad spectrum. So at some point, they're going to get into the later Dark Knight issues. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what I've been reading when I'm reading like the 80 years of Batman collection or the whatever it is, 75 years of the Joker. And it might have a later era Infantino issue.
Yeah, because I saw the images you posted, and I was like, yeah, that's like the good stuff I remember. So I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Exactly.
You need to behave now because Gundy's in the chat.
Oh no.
he just finished Search Party. I don't know what that is. Is that like a ballet? Is that an opera? That sounds like an opera. Yeah. We'll go with that.
Is that a Red Shoes Diary from Showtime After Dark?
So yeah, HBO Max. I still haven't tried it yet. I'm thinking about it, but I think first I need to finish. Actually, let me rephrase. First, I need to start Harley Quinn because I haven't even started that yet. And I hear it's really good.
Okay.
Julian just said in the chat, it's fire. I don't know. I think that's hipster for it's very good. That's my guess. Speaking of hipster, I have the most hipster dinner to share with you. It's not hipster, but it is pretentious.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. Like, there's just not on any of these things that like stuff that I want to watch. I got like really hipstery this weekend, and you know, I love my Raspberry Pi. Dennis is gonna love this. He's all about Raspberry Pi.
I saw your tweet.
So I did that today. I'm no longer using DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo is 2019. 2020, something else. Matter of fact, you know what? Let's do this. Can I think I can share my. If I share my screen,
are you gonna break? If you break this, I swear to God, we had some gold the first 20 minutes of last week, and it all went to hell in a handbasket.
All right, let's do this. I'm gonna transition. Oh, see, I think that worked. Chat, tell me if that worked. Can you see my screen now? So I did my own search engine. So chat can see it right now.
I can't see it.
That's on my fine. Raspberry Pi. Oh, you can't see it?
No.
Well, how do I share my screen with you? This is too complicated. Listen,
I don't want to see your dang screen. Tell me about your Raspberry Beret.
I thought I was a like technology genius. This streaming thing, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about or what I'm doing. But so I'm doing my own search engine now. It's freaking awesome, man. It's like the most hipster thing, and it's pretty quick. Like, I just did it in chat, and it pulls stuff from like DuckDuckGo and Google and all that stuff, but there's no tracking or anything. So that's one thing that I did.
Is it Wiki Ferretti? Is that the name of it?
So the service is called Cirx, And
that, like, that was a joke, by the way.
Well, I know. See,
but that would be a good name.
I wanted to do this on Bat Bat Go, but I don't know if you know this. Friend of the show, Dennis, owns batbatgo.com.
Some would say he's squatting on it.
Some would say he is squatting on it. So, so whatever. It doesn't matter because I'm not like doing this from outside the house. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No, Dennis, I'm not crawling myself. It basically crawls the search engines and strips all the extraneous stuff away. So all the... Oh, Craig! Gundy says we should call it Martin Vista. Where's my bell?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Martin Vista, yes. But anyways, I had a lot of fun doing that. And I was like, you know, we have all these movies, right? And... Of course, all legally obtained. So don't, I don't want to hear anything about, you know, where did you get these movies from, blah, blah, blah. All legally obtained. 99% legally obtained. And they're all in hard drives. So I was like, you know what? Let me just go ahead and do this, like, media server so I can watch the movies. And I tried all kinds of stuff. But the thing is, like, the Pi is like a little computer like this big. You know what I mean? And I'm already doing like way too much on it. So I found a way to run it where it's not as fancy as like using Plex. You've used Plex, right?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Or something similar to Plex. No. I mean, it'd be like the Apple TV. You use the Apple TV.
Correct.
It's not as fancy as that, but it gets all my movies on the TV. So yeah. I did that. And yeah, it's been fun, man.
What did you watch?
This is not What Did You Watch. This is the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick and Martin.
Oh, man.
I don't know if you know that.
Man.
You should get with the program. But, I worked on that a little bit yesterday, and I got a bunch of things up and running. That's pretty exciting, man. So you know me. Nice. Uber hipster 2020. And, all right, so let me tell you about this recipe, because this is the most pretentious thing. So one thing we love to do is watch like Hell's Kitchen, Kitchen Nightmares, like all those Gordon Ramsay shows, right?
Sure, sure.
I don't know if they're still on or not. But we were watching one where like it was in the UK, so he's super nice, right? Because when he does the American version, he's a complete douchebag. But mm-hmm. in the UK version, he's really nice. So we're watching that one, and it was an American lady. She's got a soul food restaurant. And they show the trailer for like the one after that, I think it was. And this guy was making all the stuff with elk. And one thing that he was making was, oh God, what did he have? It was salmon en croûte. Okay. So have you ever had anything en croûte?
I don't. Is that where it's rolled?
Yes, kind of. Okay. So I was like, I wonder what that is. So I look it up, right? And it looks... Like, it looks really nice. Like, the recipe's super complicated. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this, right? Because,
right.
You know, I love cooking. I love trying new things. So today, I made my own phyllo dough. I've never made phyllo dough in my entire life.
Dang.
Okay. This is we're going to get to how this is pretentious in a
this
second.
This is already pretentious. Go on.
Oh, you mean making my own phyllo dough?
Yes. You started off correctly.
Yes. So, by the way, I mean, it's not hard, but it is kind of a pain because you're doing this like paper thin dough.
Yes.
And with the recipe that I used, you're supposed to end up with this square that's like 36 inches by 36 inches. And I don't think my square was that big. Yes, Julian, beef Wellington technically would be en croûte.
Oh, look at him.
He's so fancy. See? Oh my God, Aaron Bell's here. Watch out!
Oh, Mayim.
So I make this dough, and it's not quite the size that it says, but you know what? It's close enough. And I wanted to make it look nice, so I like trimmed the little edges, so it was like a big square, right?
This is so pretentious. I love it.
Well, you know, I think if you go to the store and you buy a phyllo dough,
it's squared off.
So I wanted it to look like I bought it at the store. Sure. So I rolled it all out, and then I cut a knife, and I got my little square. It was kind of rectangular, but close enough to a square. And so I had to let it sit and dry for 2 hours, right? You cover it with plastic wrap, wow. And, but you let it sit on the table for 2 hours. So after the 2 hours were up, I went ahead and I was going to cut my filet dough. But then I realized the filet dough was not big enough for these three chicken breasts.
Uh-oh.
So I had to cut them instead of doing the long ways, because you're supposed to have like three 12-inch wide, 36-inch long strips of dough.
Sure. Three times 12.
I didn't have that. Okay. Uh-oh. Mine were like, we'll go like 8 inches wide by like 24 inches long. Mm-hmm. So I ended up cutting it sideways.
Gotcha. Okay?
That way I could actually wrap the chicken breast in this dough. But before I did that, see, this is going to start getting more and more pretentious until I give you the punchline. You're going to be like, those fucking French people. Ooh, can I cuss on YouTube? I didn't think about that.
Uh-oh.
Too bad! So the chicken, I cut a slit in the chicken, and I stuffed it. It was like little cherry tomatoes. I diced them up.
Yeah.
It was that with basil and mozzarella. Stuffed that in the chicken, and then I put that whatever remainder I had like on top of the chicken. I wrapped it all up where it looked like – it looked pretty good. You know what I mean? It didn't look like the picture, but it was pretty good. Right. And then you bake it in the oven for like 30 minutes or whatever. Came out – tasted great. But
I'm surprised they didn't have you hammer out the chicken breast to make it thin. Or am I thinking more like a roulade? Where it's like thin chicken breast, and then you roll everything up, and it becomes...
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, I didn't think about that. I mean, I guess I could have done it that way too, right? Yeah,
you
I could have done it
probably make the 12 inches your issue with the short pieces. That's what she said. I know. I stuck
there
in that
it is.
One.
There it is.
Now you can see my reaction every time you say that.
Tipper Gore is coming for us, apparently. That's what Aaron Bell says. So,
no sleep till Brooklyn.
Let me get a sip of this drink. It's hot in here. Woo.
Man. Go on, Nelly.
It's just lemonade, by the way.
Oh, man. You need some gin in that.
Dude, I don't drink anymore. I told you that.
What?
Yeah.
Maybe
I haven't
next
drank.
Friday.
I haven't drank. I'll be drinking something. I'll be drinking a specialty. So, anyways.
Oh, my,
anyways.
Stay
so,
tuned. We might be changing it up. We might have to record on Friday.
Yeah, I think we probably need to do that on Friday.
Hell yeah.
So we get it out. I mean, we all ate it and it was great, whatever. But when
so
I.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. I lost the thread. I need to know what's inside that other than chicken breast, cherry tomatoes, and cheese.
No, that's it. It's the cherry tomatoes diced up with basil and mozzarella. You stuff that in the chicken. You put the chicken in the filet dough, and then you wrap it up, and then you bake it.
Before
you bake it, you do the egg wash. And actually, this is part of the reason why I decided to do this. Because yesterday, I made some meringue cookies.
Oh.
Yeah, I did meringue cookies. It was lemon and cardamom, and it was very good.
Dang.
But I had these leftover egg yolks. Right, so I was like, I need to do something where I can use these goddamn egg yolks, and so this is what I did, right? Chicken on croup. So all right, so I do my egg wash or whatever, and I stick them in there. As I have them in the oven, you know what I don't know how well I've described the whole process of creating this chicken on croup, but when this thing was in the oven, you know what I thought about, Nick? Those goddamn French people. It's basically goddamn hot pocket.
You made a fancy hot pocket.
It is a pretentious AF hot pocket.
Yes.
Chicken on croup.
Sounds good, though.
It was great. It was delicious.
Didn't have any sauce or anything to go over that thing?
No, no sauce. So when I looked up, so this is the chicken one. Now, when I looked up some of the fish on croup, like a salmon on croup, there is like a mascarpone sauce that you put on top of it before you bake it. Yeah. I think you do like mascarpone sauce on the salmon, and you wrap it up. And then at the end, you do like more sauce at the end.
Do you have any filo dough left over to make baklava?
No, but let me tell you what I did do.
While you're drinking, I need to ask a question.
Yes.
Would you cut doing this again or something similar? Would you cut a corner and not do your own phyllo dough?
I don't know, man. Doing the phyllo dough is kind of fun.
Or would you become even more pretentious and get mozzarella curds and make your own mozzarella?
I have made my own mozzarella before.
Of course you did. You're not ready.
not this time. Okay. But maybe. Maybe I will.
Yeah.
Maybe I will. What was I going to say? God, now I forgot. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But yeah, it was delicious. Oh, the phyllo dough. That's right. No, I'm going to stick with making it. Even though, like, it's a long, complicated process. You know, I'm a long, complicated person. You know what I mean?
That's true. That's very true.
What's Gundy says? Episode title, Pretentious as Hell Hot Pocket.
Oh,
I like it. That's good. It's very good.
That's the peanut gallery we need information.
Yep, this is true. Every culture has a hot pocket. Yes. Empanadas are delicious. I haven't made empanadas in a long time.
Those are my favorite hot pocket.
Empanadas?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. That's what I was going to tell you. So I had this phyllo dough left over, right? Yep. Because I trimmed out to this beautiful rectangle. And so what I did is I flattened it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like not super flat, you know, like a little bit of thickness. And then I put some of the leftover tomato and mozzarella mixture inside. Ooh. And then
Caprese hot pocket? Hell yeah.
And then so I pinched it or whatever. So it was like a little medallion, right? Like, you know, 3 inches wide like this.
Mm.
And like this tall. And instead of baking that, I fried it.
Ooh.
With nothing, just like on a dry pan.
You didn't throw some duck fat in there?
Come on. I don't have any duck fat. Bone
marrow?
I don't even have bacon fat right now.
You don't have bone marrow? Come on now. Martin Ferretti.
Do I have bone marrow?
Of course you do.
I might, actually.
Yeah.
I know you say that. But, yeah, dude, it was good, though. It's like, just like this light, tiny little thing. Have you ever had, like, elephant ears at a carnival?
Of course. Of course.
Okay. So, I mean, the difference is elephant ears are deep fried, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of tastes like an elephant ear, like a cheesy elephant ear.
That sounds good. Except, did you put powdered sugar on your Caprese?
Nope.
Disc. Okay, that's good.
I put a little drop of sriracha.
Ooh, I could see aged balsamic being good on that too.
That would have been good too. You know, I have what's that stupid thing called? Honey racha, I think.
Honey racha?
Honey racha?
You're making that up.
All right, listen. I need to explain something to you, Nick.
Yeah, you need to explain something.
Because let me tell you that Heinz has gone to just a whole different level, my friend.
Hell yeah. You mean they went beyond their green and blue ketchup? Is that what you're saying? They discovered that they can put food coloring in their relish. They've been doing that for years.
Oh man, that green ketchup was the bomb. Yeah. You know what's weird? It didn't even taste like ketchup exactly. Yeah. I don't know if it was just like the fact that it was green or if they used a different recipe.
Because I think that's in your head.
You think so?
Yeah.
Can you still?
It'd be one thing if it was like green tomatillo ketchup. Okay, then that's I can see that being so different. And hey, Heinz, steal that from me. Make that. That sounds real good.
Yeah.
But honey racha?
Yeah. So, okay. Huh. So this started sometime last year.
You know what
year.
I would like? Smoky racha. I would like sriracha, but with a little liquid smoke in it. Give me that. Because honey sounds all right, but come on.
I found, oh God, what the hell was it? It was like a coconut sriracha or something.
What?
Yeah. All right, next time I go to the store.
Like coconut aminos, but with sriracha flavor?
Man, I don't know.
Coconut aminos is like, that's supposed to be like a soy sauce substitute.
But this thing was red and it looked kind of pasty. Pasty like red, not pasty like as in Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Gotcha.
All right. So.
Honey racha.
What's this? And the purple was even less ketchup tasting while also tasting slightly like ketchup.
Yeah, if it was beet ketchup, I would be like, okay, you're trying to do something there. Sure, it might taste gross, but sure. I would try beet ketchup.
I would try beet ketchup. I love beets. What's that thing that they make out of beets? Like
goulash?
Goulash. Thank you. I knew you would know. I should know better. I just watched this Polish movie that was awesome, and all I could think about was goddamn goulash. is goulash Polish? It sounds Polish. I just alienated our French listeners, our Polish listeners.
What the hell? You're losing all of Europe. It's gone.
Notice I have not apologized for my Grant Morrison comments from last week. Okay. I do remember the green ketchup, and I remember the blue ketchup. I don't remember any other color ketchup. However, one of my favorite sauces, and we've talked about this before, one of my favorite things to do is to take ketchup and mayonnaise, mix them together, and you dip your fries in it. Okay?
Sure.
And this is not like an uncommon thing, right? Like a lot of people do this.
Yes.
Welcome
to Canada.
Oh, is that a Canadian thing?
I know many Canadians that's all they want.
All right, so maybe I should start alienating our Canadian listeners now.
No, come on.
I do love poutine, so I can't say anything bad about Canada.
Hell yeah.
So, all right. So this is a thing that was like everybody makes this, but you always get made fun of, right? Like you'd go to McDonald's or whatever, right? Or like to a barbecue and you mix the ketchup and the mayo. It's like, ugh, that's disgusting, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
All right. Well, so Heinz started making mayo chup last year.
Wait, hold on. Mayo chup. Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. Mayo chup.
Sure.
Julian says the mayo chip doesn't work for him. The ratio is wrong. Yeah, it's not the same. You got to do it yourself.
Now I have to ask, especially now that we're in touch with Julian so much, which I love. Are all of the Ferretti's hit some level of pretentiousness?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Your other brother as well as your father.
I wouldn't say
that a trait that came down from dad.
I wouldn't say Lucas is pretentious at all. I mean, he likes his cars, but I wouldn't say he's pretentious about them.
Well, maybe that's more an OCD thing than pretentious.
Could be.
Yeah, you've told me many things about him and his cars.
Yes, he's very OCD about his cars.
Yes, yes.
That's very true.
But I don't know if that's pretentious. But does he look down his nose if you're pulling up in a Camry? Is he looking down his nose?
No, I don't think
so. You just know you're getting the look.
No, because he's had like POS cars too. Like even just like
I just love it. I love hearing the ratio is off. That was what spurred that question.
Some people want their mayo chup to be a little more mayo, and some people like to be a little more chup.
Yes.
All right, so mayo chup.
That's like honey mustard. There's honey mustards out there that are too sweet for me. There's some that are too mustardy for me. You got to have the right ratio.
So mayo chup. This was last year. And then within the past like 6 months, I've started seeing Cranch.
Whoa. Cranch? Oh, Cranch. I know the last part is ranch.
Yeah, it's easy. Cranch.
Is it ketchup ranch?
Ketchup and ranch.
That sounds disgusting. No, thank you.
Ketchup and ranch. So they started that. It's Cranch. I wonder, do they have a website? Let me go to my Raspberry Pi search engine here.
Yeah, go on to Martin Vista.
To Martin Vista. Because if I can go to the, oh, here we go. Damn. I want to share this page. All right. If I share my screen with Nick, will this show up?
If you break this damn I'm telling you right now, we're not redoing this. This episode will be 30 minutes long. We have that. It's over.
All right. Can you see my screen?
I can.
Okay. Now let me make sure.
What the hell are you doing? Just keep that up.
Can chat see my screen? That's what I want to know. All right. So here we go. Because I found
mustard.
I found these other two when I went to the store this past weekend. Okay.
Well, describe them for the listener, because guess what? This isn't a video cast, even though we want it to be a video cast. Describe what's on the screen.
All right. Let me move my chat. Okay.
And I love that I can see your tabs, by the way. That's the best.
Oh, okay. Hang on. They lost my video. Let's do that. All right, can you see this now, chat? Okay, I just switched over from the Zoom window to Heinz, wonderful website about combinations of condiments that some may say should never have been created. Some you have, absolutely adore.
You have to scroll down because it says six varieties and the image only shows four. Heinz, get your act together. That is terrible.
All right, so we're gonna get to
there,
this.
Okay,
here we go.
I want to rank these six, but first say right. What they are.
We'll definitely rank them. Okay, so we already talked about mayo chup, straightforward. We talked about Cranch, straightforward. Mm-hmm. So the day before we went to the store, my wife and I were talking about, for some reason, speaking of pretentiousness, Grey Poupon, okay?
Oh, my God. Chat, I can't see you. Is there any way you could mute Martin just for like 10 minutes? Give him a timeout. Thank you.
Oh, man.
What the hell? Grey Poupon.
Well, I think it started with Grey Poupon, but really it was a conversation about Dijonais. Do you remember Dijonais?
Yeah.
Dijonais. All right. So talk about synchronicities, Nick. The next day we go to the store, and what do I find? This little baby right here. Heinz Mayo Must.
And that's mayo and mustard, right?
It's mayo and mustard. Okay. And I was like, huh, I've literally never seen this in any store. Why is it here? But yes, mayo must. Is it any good? Meh. It's all right. By the way, I bought one of each of these.
Heck yeah. I was hoping you were going to say that. Even the honey sriraches.
All right. So the honey racha, which is.
Yeah, honey racha.
It's like a honey ketchup with sriracha.
That's a lot of combo.
And now it's very spicy. I didn't think it would be that spicy. Yeah. I mean, it's not as spicy as like real sriracha, but it's pretty spicy. And so I've had the honey racha for a couple of weeks now. What did I buy it for? I bought it for something. I think like I was making some fish in the oven or something, and I topped mine with honey racha. It's good. I enjoy that one. But you don't need a whole lot. That's the thing. You know what I mean? And the sweetness, you know, me and sweet don't get along too well. Just kind of kills it for me. So I'd rather just use sriracha a lot of times. But sure. Yeah, the honey racha. So honey, sriracha, honey racha. Thumbs up. The cranch, meh. Mayo chup, meh. Mayo must, all right. Let's go to the mayo Q. This is the one that I have not tried yet.
Ah.
It is mayonnaise and barbecue sauce. I will say I have tried this on chicken nuggets. It's pretty good. But I haven't tried the mayo Q, right? I've only done it making it myself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the final one is mayo racha. Now, I also have not tried the mayo racha yet, but I have had, I mean, you have this all the time. If you go get sushi, a lot of sushi rolls have like the spicy mayo on top. That's basically what that is, the mayo racha.
Right.
So I'm going to assume it's good. Like how do you can't mess anything up with sriracha, right? It's like three ingredients.
Right.
So yes, these are our six condiments.
Okay,
Nick.
I have two things here.
Yes.
One, looking at this website, and I'm sure it's accurate. What is the deal? What are you doing? Get that off, Martino.
Oh, sorry. Does that show up on your thing?
Yes, of course. You're sharing.
I'm confused.
Put your pornography away. Looking at this website, there is not. I take that back. There are two out of the six that are the same exact ounces. All the other ones are completely different ounces. And is that a mistake? Or do you think that some of these cost more, so they put less in the bottle because there's no way in hell you're walking into a Kroger or what's down by you, Piggly Wiggly? I don't know.
Ingles,
yeah, I know you don't. Yeah. You sure. But I wonder if you're not walking into your Piggly Wiggly down there and looking over these six, and one is $3.99, one's $3.69, one's $3.70. No, they're all whatever it is, $3.99. So they just put less in the bottle because it costs more to make? That would be my assumption. Because we go from 20.2 ounces all the way to 16 ounces. That's a big difference.
Yeah. And the thing is, the bottles themselves, I don't remember them being different sizes.
I don't think they are.
I'll have to go look.
I doubt it.
I think they're the same size. But
they just leave a little extra air, would be my guess.
I wonder if some of the stuff just naturally by weight is lighter. You see what I mean? Like something that's more water heavy, right?
Would be
heavier, like the honey racha. But something that's just pure solids, like the mayo Q. That sounds so weird to say. Ugh.
Yeah.
Pure solids.
All of these, honestly, all of these don't sound good except for the honey racha. That's the only one that sounds good. The rest of them I'll make by myself. And I don't think I'll ever make Cranch. That doesn't sound appealing. Ranch sounds great, but I don't need the other stuff. Now, what flavor, because I already have mine, what flavor is missing from Heinz flavor mashups?
What flavor is missing from Heinz flavor? Let's see. There's a
mine?
Mustard.
I'll give you mine.
Go ahead.
Mine?
I got one.
Will be, it's mayo chi.
Mayo chi.
You see the eyebrows?
Is that mayo and kimchi?
Oh, yeah, brother.
Are you serious?
Hell yeah. Because I was thinking of relish, and I'm like, nah. Then they're done that. Come on, Thousand Island. Come on. Big Mac sauce. I would want a little diced up kimchi. I think that would be spicy, vinegary. Sign me up.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
That could be interesting. So the one that I was thinking of is actually, what would that be called?
Yeah.
Ranch? Q?
What?
Q! That's perfect. Q. Q. It's, I do this sometimes with chicken nuggets too. It's just barbecue sauce and ranch. It's pretty good.
Barbecue sauce and ranch.
Yeah, barbecue sauce and ranch.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Julian says, all right, see, Julian would know, so let's ask the expert.
Yes, please.
The bottles are definitely the same size physically.
Mm-hmm.
My best guess is that the thicker liquids take longer to squirt into the bottles on the manufacturing line, so to keep the same production time and not reset the machines, they just fill those less. I mean, yeah, I guess so. That's what you, kind of
bell.
What you were saying. Yeah,
ring the bell.
Branch. Yeah, okay, branch, fine.
I think Julian's watched a lot of, what is it, How Does It Get Made? He must have watched a lot of those episodes.
Oh, yeah. What's the name of it? Yeah, How It's Made, right? Yeah.
How It's Made, yeah.
Is that still on? That show was so good.
I don't know. I don't have cable. I have no idea.
I don't have cable either. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Oh, I'm sure.
You tell me something, man. We're doing this thing again where I'm talking too much this week. You know what I mean?
No, you're not. I already did my retractions. I had to do the retractions at the top of the episode. I didn't want to forget them.
Oh, so I'm not going to do my retractions because I firmly believe what I said last week.
None.
However, yeah. I do need to say,
ooh.
I do need to say, what was I going to say? What was my explanation? Oh, yeah. If you take anything that we say seriously on the show, then you probably haven't been listening for the entire time.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's not like we have a script.
Oh, Jesus. All right. So Dennis and Julian have both shared pictures of this chat.
Oh, no.
On Twitter.
Busted.
Dude, I need to get. Where's my. Hang on. Is my harp up here? Where's my harp?
Your mouth harp?
Damn it.
Your
it's
mouth
not,
harp?
Oh, here it is. I found it. See? Here it is.
There we go.
Should we play a little? Oh, I can't because my mic's on this side. Damn it.
This is what we've come to.
Listen, see, that was perfect because that's audio. You see what I mean? So you don't need to be in the live chat to know anything that's going on when you listen to the mouth harp. Yeah. You know, it's funny. So I got this mouth harp.
Plenty of people are making gifts of that, just to let you know. That will live on for eternity.
So I got this mouth harp just because I wanted to learn it, right? It's obviously like not a very complicated instrument, but it's harder than you think, man.
I learned it back in the day.
Did you?
My question for you, because it happened to me quite a bit. How many times have you hit your teeth?
Never.
Really? Because that'll wake you up, my friend.
Well, let me rephrase. The first day that I got it, yes. Uh-huh. But ever since then, I haven't hit my teeth at all. Now, I have had times where, like, I'll pop the little thing the wrong way and just, like, jam it into my cheek. Or, like, it'll reverb onto the side of my lip. But in terms of my teeth, I really haven't had any issues.
So where's the status with your bow?
Oh.
And where's the status of camping? Pandemic camping.
Pandemic camping. All right, so the bow should be complete, I'm hoping, by the end of the next week. Yeah, I'm hoping. So it's actually so funny that you brought that up.
It's not funny. I've been asking quite a bit.
I know. But so I just had
I just had
a guy on my other podcast, and we were talking about something, and he's got a YouTube channel. And one thing that I thought was awesome was that I think it was the last video he put out. He's talking about making wooden spoons. Right, so like that's become his hobby, is taking just like when he's cutting wood in the backyard, or like he's got like a little piece extra or whatever from a project, he just like sits and works on making a spoon out of just like a little scrap of wood or whatever, and he does it with just like a little hand axe, in some files, and so I started telling him about me making this bow. And it's really interesting. Just like, I think just any kind of manual labor like that, where it's just like a very specific task that requires a lot of your attention, I think it's just like really awesome to try.
I think it's more the traditional aspect of it too. There's a caveman aspect to it.
Yeah.
Working with your hands, especially with wood, you know, there's something there that's like you have a product that you're willing into existence. And if it messes up, it messes up.
True.
And that's only on you, no one else. You know, it's not like you're doing something with like a drill press.
Well,
that could be the machine.
And so that was actually his exact question to me. He's like, well, what are you going to do when you're done with it? Right? Do you plan on stringing it? Or are you going to actually try to shoot it? And one thing that I still haven't decided is whether I'm going to actually make a bowstring, which I'm not going to make a bowstring because I'm pretty sure that would take forever. Like making my own cordage, you know what I mean? Right. And it doesn't seem like a fun task. It seems like it'd be very tedious. So, I think once I'm done carving it, hopefully by next Friday, we'll see how it goes, because Zoe's going to be here all week next week.
Nice.
Hopefully she'll kind of do her own thing like she always does. So I'm hoping by next week I'll be...
With him and you... The end result should be a functional product, meaning you can fire your... I think that's what he was asking. Are you going to make this a functional product, or is this just an aesthetic product? And does he use his wooden spoons functionally, or are they just for display purposes?
So the reason this conversation came up was because we were talking about like meditation and mindfulness, and that's one reason, like part of the reason he got into it. As a meditative practice, which is why I enjoy the conversation, because that's part of the reason why I got into making this bow, right? And he asked me, like, when you're done, what are you gonna do with it? And I told him, like, yeah, I plan on shooting it. And he said, well, what are you gonna do if you go to shoot it and it snaps in half?
Right? True.
And so we had a conversation about that. That episode's not out yet, so I won't link it. But it'll be out. Actually, it'll be out the same day that this comes out on audio. So you can go check out The Alchemical Mind, and it'll be the episode with Sean Cahill. And we talk about aliens, because he's into aliens.
Heck yeah.
Anyway, so... yes, I do plan on using it, but I think for me it's more a matter of like going through this whole process of creating something out of nothing. And like how I feel the actual practice of working on this piece, like impacts me directly.
Right, I get it.
But yeah, so I do plan on doing it. The thing is, so it all depends how quickly I get done during the week. Because stringing the bow is going to take a few days, right? Because you need to have the bow shape itself. So you got to like right. pull, and then you got to do a little more shaving on the wood and stuff. But yeah, if all goes well, within like, let's just say 2 weeks, I'll be done with it.
Nice.
And then I'll be shooting it. I will be making my own arrows just to test. I mean, I have some real arrows, but I do want to make a couple just like arrows myself. And
are they going to be like Green Arrow arrows? You're going to put like a punching bag and then bend one so it can swing around like a boomerang? Is that what?
Okay. I'm going to have one that's like a switchblade. So when you shoot it in midair, it'll split open and turn into a double-headed axe.
What?
And start spitting in the air.
Nice.
Into my axe target in the backyard.
I get it.
No, I'm gonna be doing just regular ass arrows. Dennis wants me
it's
to use deer.
Meditative.
Yes. Yeah. Dennis wants me to use deer entrails. That's not gonna happen, my friend. My wife and I were just talking about this too, because
deer entrails, was that before or after the Great Poupon?
No, about deer entrails. because we were talking about, oh, you know what, it was the day after my in-laws were here last week, and you remember I made that deer stew.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, if you my father-in-law's like, you know, we have more deer meat if you want to come to the house and pick it up.
Heck,
and
yeah.
And my wife said something about it, and I was like, yeah, I mean, like, even if we can't go, I can just like, I'll go down to the woods when I finish with this bow, and we'll just go catch our own deer.
Nice.
And she's like, you wouldn't do that. I was like, eh, why not? And yeah. I was like, how do you think I got the idea to make the stew? She's like, what do you mean? Because the day before I made the stew, I saw there's deer. When you go to the exit of the subdivision, there's deer that I always see crossing there. And there was a mama deer and two little baby deer crossing the road.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And I was like, I have venison in the freezer. I need to make some. And my wife's like, that's disgusting. Anyways, yes, Julian knows I have hit many a deer in my cars over my lifetime. There was one car that I had that I hit surely at least half a dozen with that one car.
Are you serious? I only hit one deer ever. So.
Yep.
Dang.
Matter of fact, the first time I hit a deer with that car, there wasn't even a scratch on that damn thing, man. Not even a scratch. It was a 1991 Ford Probe. Love that car. Best. Not even a dent. And where were we? We were like in the mountains of North Carolina. Freaking pouring rain. And we're driving down the mountain. And all of a sudden I hear, bam! I said, what the fuck? And I get out of the car and we're looking around. And we see the deer just like laying behind the car.
Aw.
But then he got up and ran away. So I guess he was fine. Gotcha. We weren't going that fast, you know what I mean? It was pouring down rain. But, yes, good times. See, I love all that stuff, man. I wish we could have, like, farm animals at the house and all that stuff, but there's regulations against that here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, anyways. Let me tell you about this movie that I watched, Nick.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You were going to say something.
No, I just want to make sure that this is about the level of Ted Nugent that you're going to become.
Listen, one day I'm going to own an entire mountain, okay? All to myself.
All right. I like it.
My wife will hate it.
Yeah, you could have had acreage a while back.
Look.
I know.
She and I just talked about this last week too. Okay?
That's going to be your biggest regret. In a decade you're going to look back and be like, "Dang, we could have had that." Ooh, we could have had that.
No, not mine. It'd be all right. It'd be okay.
Well, you'll have a mountain at that point. You'd be like, remember that acreage that we could have had? Well, now I need a mountain.
So I watched this movie on Netflix. I just wanted to bring it up. I don't want to dive too like deep into it, but I did think it was pretty interesting.
All right.
Aside from the main character, the acting is not the best, right? because this is a Polish movie. I know nothing about Polish movies. I don't speak.
Is this the Borscht movie that you were watching?
Yeah, I don't speak a lick of Polish. Right. The only thing I know how to say in Polish is Borscht, and that's it. That's all I know how to say in Polish.
Okay.
And Kelly Kapowski, I can say that, but that's about it. So you might actually kind of dig this movie. It's not true crime, but it's a fictional story. But like the main character is similar to the girl from, what's that one that we liked? Is it The Bridge?
Ooh.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Heck yeah.
Okay. So you know how like she's like kind of weird and like depressive, like manic depressive, but like super smart and like really good at her job.
Right.
Okay. So the main character of this movie is just like that. The movie is called The Plagues of Breslov. Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
It is in Polish. You have to watch it with subtitles.
Is this a new release? Like, how did this find it into your eyeballs?
It was just
recommended?
Yeah, I think it might have been recommended. I have no idea.
Okay.
Somehow it showed up on Netflix, and I was like, oh, that looks cool. Let me watch that. So when it kicks off, they're like in a little market or whatever, right? And this little kid's trying to, what was he? I think he was looking at animals or something, or maybe like produce. I can't remember exactly. But he's like, oh, like there's something under this crate. So his grandma comes over and like she can't see anything. So she asks the guy that's running the cart to like move his stuff around so they can see. And he moves these crates around and there's just like this big package. Okay. I don't know, 4 foot by three, whatever. It doesn't matter. A big package. But it looks like it's covered in cowhide. And so obviously they call the police, right? So the police show up. And before she gets the call to go to this thing, she's sitting outside this building, like super depressive, and she's got a gun in her hand, right? So you don't know she's a cop yet.
Right.
This drunk guy walks out, and she's like ready to walk out of the car to shoot him, but he like stumbles into her door, like preventing her from opening it. And so then she like starts crying or whatever. He drives off. Then she gets the call to go to the crime scene. Okay. So she goes there. She knows a lot about this cowhide because she grew up on a farm. So she knows like the exact species of cow and like all the stuff. And it's been stitched. So it's like a shell and it's stitched all around. And so they go and cut it open and there's obviously a dead body inside, right?
Huh.
So they start doing all this research on this, whatever. And this, because it's this like weird serial killer that they figure out is doing this stuff, right? I guess in Poland it works differently with law enforcement, where like immediately the federal police force gets called in to investigate. Okay. And like she's not really happy about that whole thing, but I guess that's how it works there. They also don't seem to have like great freedom of press because like they confiscate videotapes like a lot in this movie from reporters.
Okay.
Anyway, so supposedly the federal police sends an investigator to help with the case, right? And so this woman shows up and starts helping this detective. And so the next day there's another killing, and this time it kicks off with horses. Like, you don't see anything, right? You see this like farmhouse and there's an explosion and you see a horse run out the farm. And so they get called over to this part of the town where this horse is kind of running loose. And that part was kind of hilarious because people are just like, the horse is running through this bridge, right? And people are just like jumping over cars to get out of the way and like this and the other. Anyway, it was pretty hilarious. So she manages to stop the horse, right? But gets a call from her partner. And she's like, I got the horse. Like, he's fine. And the partner's like, well, no, you don't have the horse. Like, he's still running around here. I'm chasing after him right now. So then we learn that there's two horses, right? So when she calms the horse down and gives it to another cops, she follows this rope that's behind the horse, and it leads to a dead body. So it's a guy that's missing, like, half his body, basically. And so she figures out that there's something crazy going on, goes to find this other horse. Her partner gets trampled over by the horse, ends up going to a coma. But she gets the horse calm and finds the other half of this guy's body. Okay. Even though there's body parts here, this is still a Nick friendly movie, so don't worry.
All right.
So through all this stuff, like this woman that came in from the federal police starts talking about the story of this guy that like invaded this particular region of Poland, and I can't remember what year it was, and did like the seven plagues. Like he wanted to make sure his authority was listened to. So he picked like different, I guess like sins or whatever. So in that way, it's a little bit like seven.
Yeah.
But this governor picked like different things that he didn't want to happen anymore. You know, like bribery and robbery and something. And picked people that were like tried and convicted for those crimes and would like publicly execute them every day, right? So every day of the week, except Sunday, because Sunday you went to church, like he would do like public executions of these criminals so people wouldn't want to do this. And so they figure out like whoever's doing this crime is somehow reenacting some of these like sin murders or whatever from hundreds of years ago. So you keep following like this investigation and there's a couple twists because like the some of the police aren't who you think they are, so there's a little bit of double crossing. But yeah, it's a really interesting movie, and obviously it's all in Polish. But the main character was just so weird. I think that's what I liked the most about the movie, because like even though there's some cool stuff, like I love this serial killer thing, right? The like the sin killer or whatever. The most interesting part of the whole thing is this detective. Helena is her name. You learn kind of what her deal is. So her fiance was killed by a drunk driver. Okay. And so that's why, like, she's always popping pills and, like, she looks like she's about to fall asleep all the time. But, sure. Like, she's freaking brilliant. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit. So if anybody wants to check out something that's kind of murdery, then watch that. The Plagues
Satisfying
of Breslau. Yeah, pretty
satisfying
good.
Satisfying ending? Okay.
Yeah, pretty good.
Good deal.
Pretty, pretty good.
Did you look into my homework that I gave you? For this episode?
Yeah, you know, I did. You want to tell people what the homework was?
I heard that there is the Steam Summer Sale going on, and since I don't game with the Master Race, I thought I would ask you if there's any, because isn't this like one of the big, supposedly, Steam Summer Sales?
Look, they say that every summer sale, and... You know, it used to be the summer sale, and then they had like the winter sale. Then there was like a spring sale, and like just like a random sale. And it's always like the big sale. You know what I mean?
Right.
I did look around a little bit. I haven't gotten anything, just because I still have so many games on Steam I haven't played. You know what I mean?
And it's hard to beat the two. What is it? The two Black Lives Matter ones. Like I sent you one of them. Remember the charity. Those two charity benefit ones.
Yeah.
Because I think Humble also did a Humble Bundle, pay what you want.
Yep.
And I think that's thousands of games as well. So,
the Steam sale's good. They've been started doing this like weird stuff though. I don't remember them doing this years ago, where they just give you like random bullshit for your games. You know what I mean? Like they show up in
like DLC content?
No, it's not DLC content. Like, you know, like a T-shirt for Call of Duty or whatever.
What?
Just like, yeah, it's just like random drops. Go, all right, when you get a chance, go to the Steam website. I think it was steampowered.com. And you can look on there where they show you the little thingies that they give you. It's just like little stupid drops. And a lot of the items that you get, I don't think they even work in a game. They're just like stuff to have just because you have them.
Weird. So would it be like deck, like different deck designs if it was a card game, that type of thing?
Bro, not even that cool. Like I'm telling you, literally, it's like here's a pin for your T-shirt in Call of Duty.
Oh brother, no thanks.
I don't know what the purpose is. Maybe somebody that's like really into that stuff can tell me. Sure. I don't get it, but yes, there are, I mean, there's some good sales, like really good sales.
Right.
So the Halo Master Chief Collection is $30. So that's worth it. It's not like a huge discount, because I think regularly it's 40. But I mean, you're getting, I think it's all the Halo games, basically. I think all of them except for
Reach.
Yeah, except for Reach.
Only Reach, yeah.
So that's a good deal. There's a little game that's on sale that I love, so I will recommend that. It's called The Forest.
Oh.
It's a horror survival game. Have you ever played any of these? That probably not. This is like totally not a Nick thing.
No.
Yeah. So, you know, like when you think survival horror, you think Resident Evil, right? Where you're like running around rooms or towns or whatever, like shooting monsters or whatever. So there is a little bit of that in The Forest, but it's more like a survivalist or a survivalist game.
So like that Friday the 13th co-op game that came out 2 years ago, last year?
I don't remember playing the co-op. I think I...
Well, it's like one... It's like... I think it's a 8-person game, 9-person game.
No. You can go solo.
9 people become the campers and 1 person becomes Jason.
No. This is like... you're stranded in the middle of the woods and, you know, it's getting dark. So you need to, like, build a little hut and, you know, you hear sounds outside. There's, like, wolves outside, right? Do you, like, go investigate or do you stay in your little hut, right?
Sounds like my nightmare.
Now it's getting cold. Like, you need to go and get firewood from the woods, right? All while you're being, like, tracked down by zombies or whatever. Yeah, there's actually quite a few of these like survivalist games. They're not all necessarily horror. I'm trying to think what the other one was that I really really like, and I can't remember.
Undying Light.
What is it?
Undying Light.
No, that's more like a zombie game.
Okay.
These kind of games are more like an adult Minecraft.
Oh, jeez. Okay? All right.
Where, like, it's not these just, like... I mean, sometimes the graphics are simple, but it's not, like, these choppy, kid-friendly graphics like Minecraft.
You mean, like, Five Nights at Freddy's?
No. I mean, like that's a kid's game, too.
I don't know.
No, some of these are not. After this, I'll send you a link, because I need to find whatever that other game was.
Talking Slaughterhouse for the Genesis?
No.
Remember that terrible game?
No. These are like three-dimensional games. Like, you're in a world, you know what I mean? Matter of fact, I wonder if I can just sign in. That's going to be too complicated. I have, like, get it to my Steam account, I got to put in my password and then get an email and then get the code from the email and put it on the website. It's so complicated.
Nope. And then you accidentally share your screen and then somebody learns your password and uh-oh.
I'm trying to find the name of that game and I can't find it. The Forest, though, The Forest is really good. It's $10 right now. It's on sale, half off. Nice. And yeah, you're like lost in the woods trying to find these cannibal mutants. So that's why I say zombies. They're not really zombies.
That really does sound like a nightmare for me. That brings on so much anxiety just to hear the premise brings on anxiety.
So the reason I like to play this kind of game in the dark at night.
Nope.
Because like the music is always very atmospheric and like you can really get into the scene, you know what I mean? Julian says Resident Evil 2 Remake is on sale for $20. I might have to pick that up. Do I have that? I need to make a note.
Uh-oh.
Because I don't know.
To the Google Doc.
But yeah, The Forest is really good. And then all the Doom games, I think they're all like 75% off.
Makes sense.
Even the new one, Eternal, which is pretty good. Pretty good.
I liked Doom, what was it? Doom 19? Doom 2019?
16.
The last one before 16. Eternal.
16.
16. There we go.
Can't believe it's four years since that game came out.
I like that game a lot.
Subnautica. Oh, Subnautica's on sale. I didn't check that. I think that's on my wish list. I might need to pick up Subnautica.
Uh-oh.
But yeah, no, there's a lot of really good stuff on sale. So
okay.
Just go on there and take a look-see. But The Forest, you know, but that's the thing. You don't watch these things. All right. For anybody that's seen the movie, The Descent. Okay.
No, God.
The Forest is like The Descent, but in the woods. Okay. That'll give you the perfect idea of what the forest is like. God, there's just too much good stuff on there, man. And I know the Steam sales are good when they do the summer sale, winter sale, whatever, but I try to pick up a lot of stuff when you're just like on random sale, right? Just like on a weekend. Because if you wait for the summer sales, boy, you're gonna go broke, dude. You know what I mean? Like you spend like $3 here, $5 there, $8 here, and next thing you know, it's like, oh crap, I just bought $300 worth of video games.
Fingers crossed you'll play half of them.
And that's the thing too. Like I've got so many. Listen, I have an entire 2 terabyte hard drive full of games from Steam.
Uh-oh.
And I think I've played like a dozen of those.
Well, you always have Hearthstone to fall back on.
Especially now. Listen. All right. Let's talk.
I want you to talk about this, but remember what you brought up at the beginning of this conversation about restroom breaks? That's what I need to go take. So you can chat with the chat. I have to go for a sec.
All right, well, you go do that. What I'm going to do is I came up with this fancy-dancy Be Right Back screen. So we're going to put that on right now. And talking. Go use the bathroom. Right. I'll stay on here.
I will.
So that's actually pretty good timing because I do need to refill my drink. So I guess I'll look at some of this chat stuff. Traumatized deer wrecking havoc on nature. How about a mountaintop? A mountaintop? I would be down for a mountaintop. How do I buy just... Can you buy just a mountaintop? So if you can, let me know. I know you can buy whole mountains. In fact, if you go to like North Carolina and Tennessee and those areas where they have like heavy mountainous regions, you probably can't anymore. Like buying land like that is, I would assume, still impossible nowadays. But like people buy those things cheap. I was watching, what was that TV show? There's a TV show with like people that just live off the land. And there was a couple that had bought like a piece of a mountain near Asheville, which I would love that because that's not too far from here and it's gorgeous. And they set up like a farm on this just like piece of mountain that they bought for next to nothing because nobody wanted to like dig out the rock and all that stuff to get it ready for farming. And they had figured out like this whole system to do it. Your wife and sister own mountaintop. That's freaking awesome. That is awesome. Ask them if I can murder them to take over their mountaintop. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. But yeah, I think that would be fun. The thing is, like, my wife would hate all that stuff, right? My wife will not go outside when it's over like 70 degrees unless she knows she's going directly to somewhere that's got like air conditioning, right?
So my wife's the same.
Oh, welcome back.
Hey, the same. She was watching today. She was watching one of the Bachelor dumb shows from Australia, and it was filmed in Fiji. And she goes, I was walking by it. I worked half a day. And I walked by the TV, and she's like, isn't this beautiful? It's Fiji. And I just looked at it, and then I looked back at her, and I'm like, there's way too many bugs in Fiji for you. And she's like, yeah, you're right. So instead of heaven, she just decides, nope, I know my limitation.
Mm. No, I hear you. Their grandfather hunted black bear on it. That's cool. I wouldn't mind doing something like that. Here's the thing. Have we ever talked about hunting? I think we talked a little bit about hunting.
Yeah.
I'm not a hunter. You know what I mean? Like if I had to kill something for sustenance, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But it's not one of those things where like, I'm free this weekend. Let me go kill something.
It's like not a motivation.
Yeah, it's not my thing. Like if you're into that, that's cool. But hunting black bear, that seems like it'd be kind of interesting. How dangerous are black bear? I mean, they're more dangerous than deer for sure, right? So is there like a thrill to hunting a black bear as opposed to hunting like squirrel? I'm just curious.
I would be very scared to go against a black bear.
Really? They're not that big though, right?
It doesn't matter. It's a bear.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen Yogi Bear, but he's not that dangerous.
Yeah, but it'll take your picnic basket.
I just realized I didn't have the video on. I mean, I had I had the be right back for
unbelievable
for the chat, but now the video is coming back. Only Hunt thinks I have a chance of killing you back. See, that's what I wonder. What's that movie where they go and hunt people? The Most Dangerous Game, is that what it's called? The Game.
There's been five different versions of that.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's one with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's right.
And then wasn't there a Blumhouse one that just came out right before the pandemic and now it's on video on demand?
I don't think it's even on demand. I thought it was just on Prime.
Maybe it is Prime.
Yeah, the one that's kind of like a black comedy.
Yeah, it had like one word title, like The Gift or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I don't think it was The Gift. But I know what you're talking about.
But it is the Most Dangerous Game.
I think they had there was some article about how that movie was racist. Because it was like black people or white people chasing minorities.
Wow, that sounds racist.
Anyways. there was the one with Ice Cube. The Hunt. Is that the one with Ice Cube? The Hunt? That one I liked. The one with Ice Cube. Or then something like Predator. Actually, what's the one that they made with the big nose guy? Predators. Where they get stranded on that alien planet and they get hunted by predators. And then Lawrence Fishburne has been like hunting predators the whole time he's been crash landed there. I don't know if you've ever seen that one.
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't.
Sounds good though.
Sounds good. I would only do it once just to taste the bear. Because I am curious as to what it tastes like. And I think if I'm gonna go that route, I would like to take it down myself before I eat it.
I would hunt, but I would also want to eat stem to stern, nose to tail.
Mm.
Like it just doesn't make sense to like shoot something and then stuff it and then I don't know what happened to the meat. I just threw it out. Like, no. That doesn't make any sense to me.
That's so funny. So at this, when we went grocery shopping at the store, we'd never been to this place, so we wanted to see what it was like. And we got to the meat section, and they had head cheese.
Ooh.
They sold head cheese.
New favorite place.
And so I saw the package, and I was like, hey, babe, you see this? And she's like, see what? I said, this right here. She's like, what is that? That looks horrendous. I said, it's head cheese. She's like, what do you mean head cheese? I said, never mind. It didn't even say head cheese on the package. I can't remember what the name that they used on it.
Did you get some?
No, I didn't get some. Because I would be the only one eating it. No, I'd be the only one eating it.
But that's the whole point. You enjoy that. My wife doesn't enjoy beets. Guess who eats all of the Costco beets? This guy.
That's different, though. I don't know if I could eat head cheese like every day. You know what I mean?
True.
I can eat beets every day, but not head cheese. Then it says black bears run 30 miles an hour and can grow 550 pounds. Interesting.
Thank you, Dennis.
So what you're saying is I should do this. I mean, like, people go hunt, like, elk and moose and stuff, and those things are, like, 1,500 pounds.
Yeah, and sometimes like the same people are, like, 15 feet off the ground in a perch. Doesn't sound like a very fair fight.
That doesn't sound like a fair fight. So here's the way that I would do it. I would take some of this deer blood from the baby deer that I kill on the street and rub it on my on my face. I would make some markings on myself. And then I would take my machete and I would go into the woods and rip my shirt off and I would carve across my chest something. And I would yell really loud and say, F you, bear, and then have the bears come after me, and I would fight them with my machete. That's the way I would do it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Would you cover yourself in mud?
And lay down traps?
Yes, yes.
Oh, see, now you're talking. How big a log could I lift up a tree is the question, right? Hmm.
And are you or are you prime Arnold Schwarzenegger? Because he could lift that log up.
He could lift that log up. I could not.
Yeah. Mm. Right, right.
That's interesting.
You're only mortal.
Would I have to make my own black powder so I can make explosive arrows?
Ooh.
See?
Good, good, good. Yes, yes, yes.
Because now I need to make my own gunpowder So then we really get into like trick arrows. I need to have explosive arrows. I need to have them with just like a little bit of explosive so that when it blows up, the net goes. See, we just figured it all out. This is exactly what I'm going to do when I finish carving my bow. I'm going to make explosive net arrows and go hunt for black bear.
And at what point during this are you going to pull out your switchblade arrows that become axes, as we talked about? And then, and what point during this whole entire process are you going to say, I ain't got time to bleed?
It's true. Huh.
That's this... still a fuck. That is, I almost cursed, but it's well worth it. That is still an effing great film.
Yeah.
I love it. Even if it's dated, I don't care. That is such a good film. Hmm.
Oh, man. This sounds fun. So anyways, that reminds me, I never answered your question about going into the woods. It's still going to be a few weeks away. Because like I said, not this week, but next week I have Zoe all week. Right. So maybe after that, sometime in July?
Nice.
Yeah, depends how it all goes. Depends what I'm doing with myself, too. You know what I mean?
So then I better have Julian figure out how to film himself for that week so we can have another Ferretti connection.
Dude, I bet you Julian has like a whole setup that he's hiding from us.
Of course he does.
Because he doesn't want us to be put to shame with his awesome streaming setup.
As well as like overlays, music cues. He doesn't curse. He has like the sound of the duck quacking every time he curses. Yeah, of course. He's Mr. Professional.
Yes. I wonder if I could do that. No. Yeah. I bet I could figure that out. My keyboard's got like a bunch of extra buttons I could program to do stuff. I don't feel like doing it because I don't care. I don't know. Do trees get the Rona? I don't think trees can get coronavirus, can they? Ooh, what if all trees already have it? Maybe we gave all the trees coronavirus, and now all the whole environment's going to die because of us. Oh, wait.
Oh, no.
Too late.
Oh, no.
Already happened. Interesting.
You thought you only had to social distance pets and animals. Not anymore. Now the trees are after us.
Could you
Warren Ellis? Maybe that's why. Maybe that's what his comic book was all about.
Wait, trees. I just thought about this.
Huh.
Which came first? Trees or The Happening? Do you remember The Happening?
Yeah, the terrible Nicolas Cage film.
So maybe it's not called The Happening. Because it was Marky Mark, I thought. Yeah, it was Marky Mark. What was that movie called?
I was thinking of the Nicolas Cage subway movie.
Yes. No, that's right. I was right. Yeah, The Happening. 2008 apocalyptic thriller film written and co-produced, directed by M. Night Shyamalan. And starring Mark Wahlberg, Zoe Deschanel. Yes. Okay. This is the movie that I'm talking about.
Well, when was Warren Ellis' Trees released? Look that up.
All right. Warren Ellis' Trees. Dang it. Come on.
Martin Vista that. Come on.
Warren Ellis.
Because that sounds right around that time.
It sure does.
Because it took a long time for those issues to come out.
Trees Comics. The first issue was published May 28th, 2014. Uh-oh, you know what this means. Warren Ellis plagiarized M. Night Shyamalan.
What? Breaking news.
Breaking news! Bim, 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 bim. I would like to have music program when I push a button, though. That would be cool.
So would I. Yeah, I would love that.
Or sound effects, yeah. Yeah, the plots, well, I mean, Warren Ellis' story is good. That's the difference. But the plots are pretty much the same, except Mark Wahlberg's such a terrible... He's a terrible actor. He's just a terrible actor.
Except for one film. And no, not Planet of the Apes. Boogie
Which
Nights.
One?
Boogie Nights he was really good in.
He was good in Boogie Nights, that's true.
And he was coming off of Marky Mark and the Funky Butts, so no one expected him to be that good, for God's sakes.
There was another one that he was good in. The one where it's like... him and his whole adopted family, like their mom gets murdered or something. I can't remember the name of that movie.
The one with Will Ferrell that he did too.
No, that was awful. Any yeah, Will Mer- any Will Ferrell movie is garbage. Although I still want to see Eurovision, because that just came out. And to follow up on last week, your movie...
You might need some gin and tonics if you're going to watch that Eurovision, would be my guess.
Maybe. Your movie came out, though, the 7500, the airplane movie that you were talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's out. Did you get to watch it yet?
I have not. Didn't know it was out.
It came out... When did we record last? Last Sunday?
Yeah.
It was out Monday.
Did not know.
Because I went to watch a movie that night, and I was like, oh, there's the movie Nick was talking about.
Ah.
Yeah, 7500. Okay. Is there an artist edition of Trees or of Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch? I'm assuming Trees. I don't think there's an artist edition. So. No, I'm pretty sure there's not. I have one comic book recommendation, Nick, and then we can wrap up.
Can I throw in something real quick?
Of course.
Buddy, this week, I don't know if it's the Rona or not. I, honest to God, I have not watched, other than rabbit holes that YouTube sends me down, I have not had any desire to watch any TV, movie, anything. Like, the wife is more than willing to start a series with me. For whatever reason, I'm just like, nah, I'm good. I'll read. Nah, go ahead. Watch whatever you want to watch. I'm going to read. I just, for whatever reason, I have no interest in movies or TV right now. Now, that could change next week, let's hope, because I'm sure she wants to watch something with me and not just have me like pick up a comic book and start reading.
Hey, but you have a lot to read, though.
I have a lot to... Let's not talk about that. Why don't you tell me... She might watch this. Let's not talk about that. Good God.
So there's a... I mean, it's not like new. It's a couple weeks old. Aftershock comic called Dead Day.
Who's the creative?
It's written by... Ryan Parrott. And the art is... what's the guy's name? Egvenig Borniakov? I think that's right.
Okay.
Polish artist. He's really good. He's done a lot of stuff with Aftershock. He's done work for a lot of publishers. Okay. And Ryan Parrott's done a lot of stuff for Aftershock too. I think Ryan is like a movie, like a TV writer, writer.
All right.
Anyways, so Dead Day. Now that you have you ever seen The Leftovers?
No.
Okay. No. So since you have HBO Max, maybe you want to check it out.
I watched half of a season.
With what's her name? Rachel from Friends, ex-husband. What's his name?
I don't recall, but I remember the premise of like a certain percentage of the world is just gone one day, right?
Bingo. So this is not the plot of this comic. But the only reason I want to bring up is because like the way that the world works just kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
Okay.
So here's what it is. It doesn't happen every year, but you know, sometimes it could be a year in between dead days or two or three or four. They don't like specify yet. We just know it doesn't happen every single year.
Sure.
But it's happened four times at the point that issue one kicks off. And it's like Halloween, right? It's like, well, more like the Mexican Day of the Dead, where they believe that, like, literally the dead come to life, right? And that's the reason you have to wear the mask and all this stuff. So when Dead Day happens, people that are dead either go visit their families or, like, try to right some wrong, right? Or, like, maybe hurt somebody that hurt them in their life. And so people...
It's like the Purge?
Yeah, kind of like the Purge, but with dead people. And I'm trying not to say zombies because they keep saying in the book, like, these are not zombies. Like the daughter in the main family that you follow around, she's like, oh, something about the zombies. And her brother's like, they're not zombies. Technically they're not. But there's some like really weird intricacies in the plot to this book.
Okay.
There is a cult, like a Dead Day cult called the Revivalists. Right. And that's why I brought up The Leftovers, because the cult in The Leftovers reminds me a little bit of the cult in this book. And they don't like worship the dead, but they have like different beliefs into why it's happening and all the stuff. Maybe they have something to do with it. I don't know yet. It's only one issue out. But the families is kind of, so it's a mother and whatever, the couple and two kids. They have a son and a daughter. And and towards the end of the first issue, like the whole time they're talking about all the preparation, right? And like the dad's going to stay home with the kids because the mom's going to go see like a friend of the family or whatever and spend a day there. Well, when we get to the end, we learn that like she's not going to see friends or anything. And I don't know if the husband knows or not, but apparently every dead day she meets up with her fiance that was killed previously, years ago. I mean, obviously a long time ago because they have two kids, right? And I think the son must be, like, he can't be older than 10 or 12, right? So this would have happened a while ago. But she goes to meet up with the fiance who is dead, and their plan is to go kill somebody. Don't know who that is either. My assumption is whoever killed the fiance, right? But it's really interesting. It's really well written. The art's really nice. All the characters are really interesting. And just the premise, I think, is what I like the most. Because, you know, I love zombie stuff. Yeah. But the thing is, like, when you watch all the zombie stuff, a lot of zombie stuff just starts looking the same. You know what I mean? Because people just like to rehash the same formula. And this just feels like really, really different from any of that stuff.
That sounds cool.
I highly recommend it. Dead Day from Aftershock Comics.
Nice. And there's only one issue out.
I wonder if I can do this live.
You look
on
like
camera.
Rusev.
Here we go.
You look like Rusev when you did that face. WWE's very own Rusev on the Nerdy.
I got to give chat the opportunity to screenshot.
That's so good.
Yes. So that's it. That's all I got, Nick.
I love it.
I'm sure I got more, but you know, I can't talk forever.
Gotta leave them wanting more.
Yes, for sure, for sure. And I think this week I'm gonna be relaxing quite a bit. So we've recorded this, and we cannot record Wednesday because next episode is our special 250. So that can't happen on Wednesday. And then for my new podcast, I recorded 5 episodes the last couple of days with guests.
Nice.
So I have like the next week and a half covered up.
You are banked.
I'm going to take a mini podcasting vacation.
Oh.
And it's going to be
fantastic. When do you want to record 250, or should we talk about that once we're off air?
Let's talk about that off air. My assumption is I think Friday probably be the best. Because I think I'm getting Zoe Saturday.
Gotcha.
And that way I can figure out some way to either get a couch in here.
We finally get the comfy couch in there.
Get a couch in here, or move this up to a bedroom, maybe with an actual bed.
Uh oh.
We'll see.
You're not going to be in your fancy gaming chair.
I mean, I don't know, man. This thing does lean back. It's got a footrest on it. I wonder if can I make that work. Let me see here. You know what? This might work. All right.
It's up to you. I want you comfortable and chatty. That's all I care about. I don't even care if it's a video and you're completely laying down in a bed and all we hear is you chit-chatting. That's fine.
Is there an official Nerdy Legion YouTube channel now? What do you think this is?
Yeah,
I'm not posting anything on there. If that's
who
the question,
that?
Dennis.
We might have to ban him.
If the question is, will I be posting the episodes on there after I record them? The answer is no.
No. Why not?
So I'm testing this out with my other podcast. But you know, we usually do an hour and a half or 2 hours on this. It takes me for the length of that about 3 hours to render a video. I don't know. Maybe I'll think about it.
I was going to say, isn't that just a set it and forget it?
Depends how I do it. You know what? Let me try it with that other thing that I was talking about earlier. The thing that you can do the clips. I wonder if there's a way to do it through there. God, my beard is epic on this camera.
I don't think you ever want to wrap up the episode now that you can see your beard.
It's funny. Now, I was at the grocery store and a lady came up to me. She's like, I just need to tell you, you have the most beautiful beard. I said, thanks.
And then you said, would you like to touch it?
No, creeper. All right.
I have some oil in it, some beard oil in it. It smells like citrus.
Dude, it's so nice. other shows, I don't know. We can talk about that off air. So ask me about that off air. Not you, the chat. All right. That's going to be it. Let's wrap it up. Thank you for listening to the Nerdy Legion Podcast with Nick. Oh, no. See, that's wrong. That's not the name of this podcast anymore. What? The Nerdy Legion Podcast with... Damn it. I did it again. See, it's not the Nerdy Legion Podcast. It's the Nerdy Legion with Nick and Martin. I cut the podcast out. There's Nick and Martin. And that's going to be it. We'll be back at some point. Next episode is episode 250. Should be fun. I hope there's a lively chat with some great questions next week. Nick will be hosting the podcast next week. I will still be here though, but Nick will be hosting. So that's gonna be it. At Nick Wembo, at Geek Fun, at Nerd Legion. Thanks for listening.